All right. 2 Corinthians 5, 16 and 17. Therefore, wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now, henceforth, we know him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. We've been talking about how when you and I were born again, everything in our lives should become new. But we said, and we all know this, that outside in our nasty now and now, nothing really changed. The change happened on the inside. And so here Paul is telling us that after we're born again, we are no longer to know people by the flesh. In other words, this whole judging thing. We say this stuff in church, but then and then we tell people we don't judge but people by what we see, but then we actually do, you know. But what God is wanting us to realize is just like He doesn't look at our flesh, He looks at our spirit, we also need to be just like our Father when we're around people and not start judging them by the sight of our eyes. As a matter of fact, in one of our verses in Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 through 3, it tells us. It says, and there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, a branch shall grow out of his roots, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. So here's talking about Jesus, how he was trained by the Spirit of God. How many of y'all are being trained by the Spirit of God? That's what we're supposed to be doing. Well, one of the things that the Spirit of God was training Jesus in is not to look at people and gathering your info about that person based on what your eyes are telling you or based on what your ears are hearing, but by listening or discerning by the Spirit of God what the Spirit of God is saying. Now, I'll say this because in the old Pentecostal churches that I grew up in, we use the word discernment. My discernment tells me they're a bad person. Well, most of the time, and I really do mean most of the time, it was not discernment whatsoever. And the reason why, the gifts of the Spirit operate in love, right? They operate in love. And if you and I are discerning on folk and then telling other folk, is that an act of love? Absolutely not. Well, there's your proof right there. And so it's important that we don't do that. We're not trying to discern on folk. Listen, plus discernment is not something we turn on anyway. That's a gift, and really it's discerning of spirits. Now, that includes human spirits as well that you'll discern. But again, most of the time back in the day, I'm not that old, I'm a young guy, there when people said, my discernment tells me they're a bad person. No, you're gathering. You're seeing stuff on them. You're seeing how they dress and their hair. And most of it was someone walked into church, a girl walked into church with makeup on, and instantly, boom, they've been judged. Or you got just a hair, too many jewelry pieces on, or your pants are too tight, your skirt too high. All of a sudden, boom, I discern on that person that they're not good, and da-da-da-da-da. Come on, that wasn't discernment. That was flat, straight-up judging. Now, that being said, those same people, now again, I'm not pointing fingers at them because I don't remember who they are, those same people, they would walk around and act like they're holier than thou. And so they're acting like their outer appearance is fooling us. And of course it wasn't, because we hear the under their breath stuff they would say, well, I would never do something like that. Well, your first word was I, so therefore, you know, you center on yourself. And so what Jesus is trying to tell us is, number one, is we're not supposed to be judging folk and gathering our info by the flesh, but by the Spirit of God. And if God is not telling you something about someone, then just love on them. And even when He does tell you something about them, love on them more. Because people's flesh gets crazy, doesn't it? People act in the flesh and they do crazy fleshy things. And man, I tell you what, it can be very frustrating, but God wants us to operate out of our spirit. We said this last week about in Romans chapter 8, the very first verse, it says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those that are in Christ. If you and I have never been condemned, which we're not, God never condemned us, the devil condemned us, and I can give a rip about what he says. But the God doesn't condemn us. When you mess up, when we mess up, we make deliberate mistakes, He still hadn't condemned us and is not condemning us. Therefore, you can't allow yourself to condemn yourself. Because what happens is the devil likes to speak a word of condemnation to you, guilt, judge, being judgmental. You know, just like we're not supposed to judge other people, you can't judge yourself like that either. Well, you screwed up and you're a bad person. What I found, and many of you can attest to this, the more mean the preaching is, there's probably a lot of flaws of the pastor that he's trying to hide. And I just found that. The meaner the pastor is, he probably hides. Now, I hate to tell you that, but that's just what I've observed over the past 45 years of living, that the more condemning the preaching is, there's probably something that pastor's trying to hide. Now, don't be judging every pastor that does that, but at the same time, it's always in the back of my mind. But anyway, we'll just scrub that. Just pretend like I didn't say that. Because the reason why our call is to build people up. You know, a lot of people don't like Pastor Joel Osteen because he builds people up. Well, he might be building up, but he's not telling them about their sin. Well, how many messages on sin did Jesus preach? I don't feel like you preach unless I felt the fires of hell touching my feet. Well, I haven't found that in the Bible either. Oh man, that preacher, he preached hellfire and brimstone this morning. Well, poor Jesus. That dude's better a preacher than Jesus, because I don't recall in the Bible, the Word of God for us today, I don't recall Jesus ever preaching hellfire and brimstone on anyone, to anyone, for anyone. But Jesus told one woman at the well that had five husbands, or you know, had five dudes she had been with, and the last one she just shacking up with, he just told her, hey, go and sin no more. Told another lady who was caught in active adultery, hey, I don't condemn you, just don't go and sin no more. You know, that's what he did whenever, you know, look at, I'll tell you a good scripture. You don't have to turn there, but in Joshua chapter 2, verse 18, you have to turn there, but it's talking about Rahab. Y'all remember Rahab, the what was she? A harlot, a prostitute. In Ebony, she's a hoe. That's where we are. Garden tool. I'm talking about garden tools. Garden tools. All right. Y'all talking about something else. I'm talking about garden. Just kidding. But she, y'all know who she was. Okay, she had some issues. Is that not right? But because of her believing the man of God and just doing what the word of the Lord through that man of God said, do you know what? Her and her family was saved. Now see, that would tick off a religious person who does all the right things yet has something destructive happen to them, or something bad happens, or they're not healed of their thing that they've been begging God for the last 2,800 years. That would tick them off. Kind of like when I got ticked off with that guy who we confiscated his gun, his drugs, led him to the Lord, and as soon as he said amen, he could start speaking in tongues. My first response was, dadgummit, you know, I got saved when I was 8 years old, but it wasn't eight. It was 18 before I received the Holy Ghost. What I'm saying is simple, is that you and I, just like we're not supposed to judge others, we're not supposed to judge ourselves like that also. Now, what we do is we do look at ourselves through the Word. And the Bible says that the Word of God is like a mirror. We find God will show us in here what we need to correct in our lives if we're open to correction. Years ago, I taught a third and fourth grade combined class at a school in Dallas, and I had some kids. We read a verse every day. We read the chapter of the day. That's what I do. I still do it. But it was Proverbs chapter 12. I think it might have been verse 1 that says that a fool hates correction. He who hates correction is a fool. And so, but I think it was the NIV. It says that he who didn't like to be corrected is stupid. And so I had the kids read that out loud one day. And I said, guys, I said, if I correct you and you think that correction is dumb, who is really the goofball in this situation? The guy correcting, the one who refuses to be corrected? And they kind of looked at me and I said, well, read this verse out loud. And so they're like, okay, the person who's being corrected, if they don't like it, then they're stupid. Now, we don't use the word stupid, but you know, that whatever version that was, that verse, it worked out real well. But the problem is, here's the problem. We have been beaten down so much. See, there's a difference between being beat up and being corrected. You know, the Bible tells us that all Scripture is given, it's God-breathed, given by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, for the purpose of correction instruction in righteousness, training, so that the man of God will not be missing anything. So we'll be strong, we'll know the Word of God, that we'll have good understanding of some things. But we look at that word, the word chastening, oh, don't despise the chastening of the Lord. We think that word chastening means to set someone down and chew them out, or, you know, do the pimp slap on them or whatever. But that word chastening has a more verbal understanding of just a verbal correction. So the Word of God is there for verbal correction, but here's the deal. You may know something, but sometimes it takes somebody else telling you that same verse on somebody else's lips to give you correction. Is it that person correcting you, or is it the Word of God? It really is the Word of God, but some of us are hard-headed, and we kind of need someone to get in our face. I was talking to a couple the other day, and they were kind of dealing with some stuff, and so I was giving some scriptural counsel, I believe it was to the wife, and the husband chimes in and says, I've been saying that same thing to her. I said, well, I know. I said, I believe you. The bottom line is how you're saying it, she's not receiving it from. Same scripture, same understanding, same verse, and she knew it. She knew he was right, but because his attitude in there were, you know, she was like, I listen to that from you. And then they're telling me about one time they got angry, and the wife says to the husband, well, look at you, you're all angry. That ain't scripture now, is it? This is a ministry couple. It's great. It's awesome. So how many of y'all know that just because you're in ministry don't mean things are perfect, okay? All right, I've been chewed at by my wife many times, and I've taken it like a saint. I don't talk back to her ever. Lord, forgive me. I repent. That is not true. That is not true. All right. So back to our word. Let's go to Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. I'm excited for you guys. Next week, you got 2 weeks of neat things happening. This coming week, this Sunday, is Nancy James from Dumas, Texas, is going to be ministering. And you'll have a fun time with her. She has a revival type anointing, and I really appreciate the little kids helping us to get free this morning, because Nancy James, she's a free lady. And boy, she'll help you get free also. So, you know, dancing is important. You know, David, dance the clothes off. Now, I don't, you know, suggest you dance your clothes. Keep your stuff on, tighten your belt, whatever you got to do. Put some suspenders on, you know what I'm saying? And so, but at the same time, man, getting free is super important. So if y'all start breaking free next week, y'all just push the chairs back and y'all just come on down. You'll have a good time. It'll be fun. And then, you know, I've enjoyed the past couple years that Valerie has been teaching during the offering. I've received a lot. I've received a lot. I've learned a lot. Just because I have a title as a pastor doesn't mean that I can't learn from anybody in the church. And I'll tell you why, I have gained a lot. There's been a lot of things that were on my heart to share with the church, but I didn't have a place and time. It'd take too long. And all of a sudden, God tells her, and the same thing the Lord's telling me, He's telling her. And so I'm like, okay, all right, we got it figured out then. Praise God. And so I look forward to the Sunday that you're teaching the Word also. And so it's gonna be good. Mark chapter 9. Let's look at 19 and 20. I think we have it up here. This is the man whose son really was possessed. He had a devil on the inside of him. You know, the Bible says, and I believe it's in Acts 10:38, that that sickness is oppression of the devil. You know that? And so there's some casting out of devils. It's funny. It's great that God gave you that scripture, because the Lord's been dealing with me about our time in Belize. We'll be doing a lot of devil casting. Let's just put it that way. And so I hate to say this, but I'm excited about casting out some devils. And so praise God, we have a nice clean church. You know what I'm saying? As far as the people go, but it ain't always clean. Let me say tell you that. And so it's gonna be fun. This guy had his son had an issue, and he went to Jesus' disciples, and his disciples couldn't take care of it. I don't know. They might have been, you know, praying for him. They might have been doing the old Pentecostal thing. Get out! And spitting and screaming, instead of just taking authority and, in the name of Jesus, you get out right now. You get. And then asking its name and all that kind of stuff. They probably do all this. You know, that's probably what they were doing. I don't know. But at the same time, Jesus was a little aggravated, because the man comes up to his dad, or the dad comes up to Jesus and says, hey, man, your disciples, took them to your disciples, and they couldn't do nothing. And so here verse 9 start, or 19 starts. He saith unto him, O faithless generation, how long will I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him to me. Let me stop right there. Who was Jesus talking to? He was talking to his disciples. Why? Because Jesus had been training his disciples to do the works of ministry. You know, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 and 12 say that the purpose of fivefold ministry is to train the body of Christ to do the works of ministry. And so I'm telling you, you and I, we have a place. Even though we may not have a quote-unquote title, we've got a place in the body of Christ to do ministry. And ministry, listen to this, ministry is in some form or fashion helping to bring increase of the kingdom to someone's life. Now, I word it like that because it's, you know, cleaning the church is part of helping out in the kingdom. You know, being a door greeter, printing bulletins, all that stuff. It's helping someone to receive when they get to church. When you walk in the door, you see a smiling face when you first walk in. That opens you up, especially somebody that may be apprehensive or maybe just a warm handshake. That stuff helps people to receive, which helps build the kingdom inside of them. All right, so Jesus had been training these guys up to do these things, and they're not getting it just yet. So I sense a little bit of frustration. Come on, guys, I ain't going to be here forever. You know, Max and McKenzie, Max, you know, particularly, he likes to be a baby. I think he'd be a baby. He'd love to be a baby all of his life. He'd love to do that. He'd love for daddy to take care of him. So, you know, they're 7 years old, and I told them when they were, now I was bad, I was wrong for this, and I had to apologize, but I was so tired of, he wants me to be standing outside the shower when he gets done showering so I can wipe him down. Now, McKenzie doesn't mind, but she didn't care. But Max, he wants me to be there and help wipe him down. So I'm all, Max, you know, son, I'm not going to do this forever. I asked him, I said, son, when you get married, you know, I can't come over to your house and wipe you down when your wife's in the other room. He said, yeah, you can. And so, so finally, I got fed up, and I said, okay, well, when you turn six, now they're seven now, when you turn six, I'm done. And so at six, on their sixth birthday, I'm like, hey, that's it for me. And he's like fussing, and he wasn't being ugly, but I felt so bad. So I'm like, okay. So anyway, bad me. I had to apologize for not keeping my word. I went on another year, and finally, they turned seven, and I'm done, absolutely done. And so my statement was, I ain't going to be here forever. You're going to learn this stuff yourself. And so I said, I know Jesus is frustrated. I get it. I get some of his frustration. All right, so back to that verse. Where's that at? There we go. All right. The next verse. And he brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the Spirit tore him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. Now the next verse, Jesus is standing there, and he says, now how long has this been happening to this man? I mean, literally, I don't have it written up there, but literally, the next verse he says, now, how long has this been happening? And so the man, you know, proceeds to tell Jesus how long it's been happening. He jumps into the water, jumps into the fire, and all that stuff. But this guy falls on the ground right in front of Jesus, foaming at the mouth, wallowing, I mean, going into full, what looked like a seizure, but really was demonic junk. And Jesus is just kind of, okay, now how long has he been doing this right here? Now, what happened here? This is really interesting. Because now we're talking about living by what the Word says, living by the authority God in you, living out of your born-again spirit and not living by your circumstance. Because what happened, let me gather this all together. Let's just make a pretty nice assumption. The disciples went to go cast this devil out of this joker, and right about the time they're getting ready to lay hands on the guy and do their thing, all of a sudden, homeboy hits the ground, foaming and writhing at the mouth, and all over the ground going gnarly on him, and they're like, whoa, okay, next please, Jesus, he's all yours. But when he did the same thing with Jesus, Jesus wasn't moved by what he saw. He wasn't affected by the bill that came in the mail that it was more than the balance of the checking account. Jesus wasn't concerned if the report of the doctor is different from the report of the Word. It didn't bother him none. He didn't give it attention. How about when Mary in John chapter 2, when they ran out of wine at the wedding, says to the people, hey, whatever he says, do it. He just told her, but it's not my time to do this stuff. He just told her that. She said, hey, Jesus, they need more wine. Woman, what does that have to do with me? You know, it's not my time yet. But then mama just forgets what all's going on, says, you know, whatever he says, just do it. Oh, you know what? She put a draw on the faith and the anointing of God on the inside of him because she had the faith of God on the inside of her that no matter what was going on, he would take care of it. Listen, They got the nasty water. They poured it and poured it into the cups, and it became the best wine of the deal. What am I saying this morning? We are growing at living the life from the inside out. We are growing at living from the inside out. From this born-again spirit that we are, the born-again spirit that looks just like Jesus, the same born-again spirit that can lay hands on the sick and they recover, the same born-again spirit. You know, I'll never forget, my mother, she was 50 years old. She was walking, she just parked her car in the parking lot of a mall in Houston. Now she's walking across, a man had stolen a car and was flying through the parking lot about 50 miles an hour and nailed my mom the side of her leg, or basically in her knees, I think is what happened. She flew up in the air, landed on the ground, and he kept going. I think he finally lost control somewhere at the edge of the parking lot and crashed into a ditch and took off. Well, the bumper of the car where it hit mom was bent. I mean, it absolutely bent this thing where it was a V shape. And of course, the police came, ambulance took her to the hospital. And of course, we heard this. We're like, what in the world? What? She got hit by what? And so we went to the hospital and they checked her out. She just had a bruise. Here she is, 50-year-old woman, and she got hit by a car going about 50 miles an hour, and she got a bruise. It hit her hard enough, didn't even dislocate the thing. Me and Lynn were talking about dislocating kneecaps. It's a thing you have to learn during certain times of your life. And so, it doesn't take much to dislocate a kneecap. Heck, man, Max almost dislocated mine the other night. We were playing. But what I'm saying is the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives on the inside of you. But if we are carnally minded, remember we said this in Colossians chapter 3, it says to be carnally minded, or in Romans actually, it says to be carnally minded is to be at enmity or to be against or opposite of God. Listen, we give too much attention to our flesh. And I know we were trained that way by religion because you got to work on this, you got to work on that. And, oh, well, you know, your language is a little bit too harsh. There was a lady one time, she was all upset. She used to go to a church we were at. And in her upsetness, she was using some foul language. And one of the guys beside me, the look he was getting from me was, well, you need to confront her about her language. No. She had a legitimate issue going on that she needed some help with. And that was the moment to be talking about foul language. Because, listen, had she got it together, she wouldn't use foul language. And so the foul language will take care of itself when she's not overflowing with craziness all the time. Well, and she was a little on the crazy side, but anyway. But all that being said, people think that you need to judge everyone's flesh. No. What we do is we help people walk by faith. We're not judging their flesh. I'm not here to point out things in your life that you're doing, but I am here to help out your believing. Does that make sense? Because it's your believing that does everything for you, not the way you look, not the way you dress, not your imperfect speech, not because of this or that fleshly thing. It's your believing. Rahab the harlot was delivered because she believed these people, believed them so much that she helped them do what God was calling them to do. And this crazy situation where all she did was stick a scarlet little ribbon outside of the window and the whole wall fell, but this little area where the ribbon was just fine. You know, she showed you Abraham this morning. The Bible says that he believed God and it was accounted to him as righteousness. He wasn't circumcised first. He didn't act right in the flesh first. As a matter of fact, y'all know how he acted. You know, he tried to help God have an heir, messed all up. Of course, you know, I can understand poor Abraham. You know, his wife comes up and offers some other woman to him. What's the boy going to say? I mean, come on. But at the same time, you and I, we are imperfect people serving a perfect God. However, you have the perfect one living on the inside. It's time for us to become inside-minded. God inside of us, God in us, God working through us, God on us. The righteous, I am the righteousness of God. We need to stop this whole trying to be righteous. And listen, many Christians, one of the biggest reasons why Christians, born again, spirit-filled Christians are in mental hospitals is because they don't believe they're righteous. They believe that they have committed some unpardonable sin, that they've done, they believe that God won't take them back. They don't understand grace. That's really it. Grace will get you out of a mental hospital. Grace will get your tail out of a mental hospital. This morning, I believe that God is wanting us to live straight from His Spirit on the inside, where we only give attention to what he said. The Bible says that Jesus only did what he heard his Father tell him to do. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth. Continual comes out of the mouth of God. In other words, you don't live by your circumstance. You're not, because the devil can manipulate circumstance. Jesus himself said that he is, the devil's the god of this world. He's the god of this world. So if he's the god of this world, he can manipulate the world. But you and I were never called to live out of the world system, out of how what happens in the world. Listen, just because a car crashes in front of the building, that's not God speaking. You know, a rain shower come down on me while I'm in the middle of the field, that's not God speaking. I'm not speaking about those things. God speaks by His Spirit and by His Word. This morning, we are going to a deeper level of living from the inside out. So your children aren't acting good. Don't judge what you're seeing. Well, you know, but they got a hard-headed daddy and a hard-headed grandpa. Da, da, da. Stop. Don't talk about what you're seeing. Don't tell me did Jesus do that? No. He saw that guy calmly. How long has he been dealing with this? That's right here. How long has your child been acting like a heathen? You know, how long has your husband or your wife been acting like a total idiot? You know, one of those things. Don't call him an idiot, though. What I'm saying is we're not judging our people anymore by what we're seeing. We're doing things by faith. I call them blessed. I call them delivered. I call them prosperous. I declare they have the mind of Christ. I declare they hear the voice of God and they know the will of God. That's what we're doing. That's what faith is. Faith sees what the flesh doesn't. Let's stand. We are coming to a deeper level in the kingdom of God, but it's only for those who choose to believe. Notice I didn't say that you had to be in church for at least 10 years before you qualify, or you have to have a diploma or degree or anything like that. No. The only qualification for everything that God has is your believing. It's your believing. Do you believe? And the only believing that God asks us to believe is what His Word says. So you don't have to believe me. You don't have to believe so-and-so. But all He's asking us to do is believe His Word. Because see, if you believe His Word, the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit speaks to you, the Holy Spirit will never say something contradictory to His Word. And so when you start believing His Word, then you'll start believing His Spirit. And when you start believing both those together, man, there's nothing impossible for you. The Bible tells us that nothing is impossible for those who believe. Rahab, a prostitute. Man, I'm telling you what. I've been so blessed. Sounds crazy. I won't say this normally publicly. I've been so blessed to see a couple strippers that I know receive the Lord, receive the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you what. I've seen a couple of them that just God's life just really got, their lives really got changed. They got a hold of God. And do you think they feel condemned about their past lifestyle? Absolutely not. Man, that's old them. That is the old them. Do you know when you woke up this morning, your old you was left in the bed and you chose to walk in newness of life? You see, walking in newness of life doesn't judge you and it doesn't judge anybody else. You see, typically the reason why folk judge other people is because they feel judged. That's why it's the more religious churches that do all the judging. Religion is the absence of grace. Religion is the absence of grace. Therefore, if there's no grace, there's got to be hellfire and brimstone and rules, regulations, and judgmental, all that baloney. You know what I'm saying? But this morning, you and I were called to live out of the righteousness of God, who we are. You'll never be any more righteous than you are. If you screwed up today, tomorrow, and tonight, you still are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And I apologize to the religious, but you can't change that. You are as righteous as Jesus is. Right now, at this very second. Now, we don't always feel that, and the devil always, 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 always is trying to tell you something different. He's trying to tell you that you're not righteous because you did this, or you had that bad thought. Well, no, sweetheart, you didn't have that bad thought. He dropped that bad thought in you. So don't blame me for those thoughts that I have. I didn't have them. Somebody said, well, I keep having bad thoughts. Well, they're not yours, number one, and you don't keep having them. They just keep dropping into your head. Now you just got to know how to get rid of those things. Yeah. And speak out loud against those things. But today I believe we are going to a new level in our faith. Because again, we said this last week, you can't walk in faith and be condemned. You can't walk in faith and then condemn others. And so as we get a hold of who we are in Christ, then you don't really care. So somebody else's actions aren't going to bother you. Well, so-and-so offended me. Well, no, it offended your emotions and your flesh. That's all it offended. It didn't do nothing to your spirit so you could just get over that. Well, Pastor Michael, that was mean that you said get over that. No, no, no. I'm helping you to not get bitter, helping you to flip it and walk in forgiveness ASAP, because if you don't walk in forgiveness ASAP, the enemy is going to keep that and offense is going to kill you. It'll tear you down. It'll give you sick disease and sickness and all that stuff. That's what the design of offense and unforgiveness has been. But today, I believe we're at a new place. We're in the now. Faith is now. And now you're going to start seeing greater results because of the word that we heard this morning. Amen? Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father, I thank you for your word.